Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstteeclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagland, Corey Majors, the famous Mike Bassick, and the wonderful and talented Mr. Alec Ripley. Medford. Oh. What did you say?
Talented Mr. Ripley. I thought you were talking about the movie, but that was weird. That's not you, Alec, based on what I remember of that movie.
I mean, that's
news to me.
That is a good movie, but I think Alec is better than the talented Mr. Ripley.
Is that the one where the guy ended up killing somebody?
Oh, he kills a few people.
Okay. That's with Matt Damon?
That is correct.
Yeah.
Okay. He doesn't drink bath water, though, right? He does. There are other things in the bathtub. That was Saltburn, Kevin.
Saltburn, which is essentially the talented Mr. Ripley.
Yeah.
But they're like, but it's happening now. All right. So usually this is kind of what we dive into on Wednesday. Next up, and we're scouting the Steelers. I know this week has probably felt longer just because the game happened on Thursday. You've had more time to prepare. But go ahead and give me that cut number 6, and let's dive into scouting the Steelers.
Third and 3, Fields, open field, and a touchdown.
Are you disappointed that he didn't say Justin, open fields? I want to rethink the broadcast right after it happened, but just a question.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I am. I want to hear that more from Brad Sham this week.
Okay.
But, man, now that I think of it, you don't want to hear Brad Sham say that. Because
that is true.
Then it means that it's bad for the Cowboys.
If I told you...
Unless you're rooting against the Cowboys.
I am not. If I told you that the perception was that Justin Fields is... He's there, and he's kind of helping the team get over the hump, but it's really the running game and the defense that's making a difference. Do you think that's probably what the perception is of Pittsburgh?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm here to argue, maybe offensively, it's a little different than you think. I'm not going to argue with their defense. We'll dive into that.
Can I say one thing I have noticed about Fields, though? He's doing more outside of the hash marks than he previously has done. And that's something, like, just watching what I'm watching of him, I've gone, oh, man, they didn't seem to trust him like this in Chicago. And it seems like it's more of a, I don't know if it's forced or if they just saw that he did it well and they said, we'll do these things. And that allows the game to, it opens more dimensions of the field whenever you spread it out that way, as well as vertically.
Okay. The last thing in particular, when you talk about the Steelers' ability to move the ball vertically, if you can get to 8 yards per attempt, that's, you're golden, man, as a quarterback, especially now. You know, Mike, it kind of reminds me a little bit of like the downward trend of batting averages and OPS in terms of the way we've seen air yards kind of flatten out this year. So it's probably even better than it used to be. But in the game against the Colts, Justin Fields had 9.2 yards per attempt. He had five completions of 20 plus yards. And so they did attempt to move the ball down the field in bigger chunks. So if you're thinking, I'm worried because they run the ball, I still don't trust our run defense. I'm not saying you shouldn't be worried about that, but don't sleep on the Steelers' ability to try to move the ball down the field.
I do wonder how much Mike Tomlin completely trusts him right now to be like in control of this offense, or if he's like, look, man, we still have to control it this way. Ben Roethlisberger had complete trust from Mike Tomlin offensively.
Yeah.
Until he couldn't throw the ball anymore. Like then you saw it. Reggie pointed it out, and then all of a sudden it was like very evident. He can't get the ball downfield. This team is doing everything underneath. And so, but Mike Tomlin was like, it's your baby. And right now it seems like, look, we're trying to protect our defense enough to allow them to get the proper rest that they need, but move the ball just efficiently enough to have good field position. And if we have to strike, we will. But it doesn't look like he completely trusts him to just go out there and do whatever he wants. They got some really good things that he knows he can do.
Somebody to go ahead.
Well, you're talking about Justin Fields and throwing the ball and getting positive yards through the air. Are you worried about George Pickens? Like, what guy are you worried about? Because their wide receiver names don't look good.
So I'm going to focus on one person in particular, but you might hear this and be like, yeah, okay, great. I just want to put the name out there. Calvin Austin. So if you look at Calvin Austin's season, it's very unremarkable, all right? So the note that I made in our prep was, watch out if Calvin Austin from the Chargers game shows up. Now, that Calvin Austin, because you look every other game, I think he has maybe one catch in his other games. Against the Chargers, so not this past game, but just the one before that, he was targeted 5 times, caught 4 passes for 95 yards. So an average of almost 24 yards per pass, and he had a 55-yard catch. So when you're looking at somebody who has the ability to maybe stretch the field, just keep an eye on Calvin Austin. But I understand the counter argument is, where the hell has he been in all these other games? And it's tough to argue against that. So Calvin Austin was just a name that I was looking at, and I was like, keep an eye out for that. Now, the running game. Pittsburgh is in an interesting spot. Their offensive line has just been destroyed by injuries. You know, we started to talk about that a little bit yesterday. It came up in crosstalk. We found out the news, I believe on Monday, that James Daniels, their right guard, has suffered a torn Achilles, and now he's going to be out for the rest of the season. The team already had three offensive linemen, on the reserve and injured list. And another one of their guys has missed the first 4 games, and they're hoping he'll be back in the mix. So their offensive line has just gotten destroyed.
Yeah, their first round pick isn't playing.
Yes. And so they've had issues with that. And because of that, I'm here to argue their run game, not that great. Yes.
Okay. My question to you, Kevin and Corey, you can chime in here too.
Thanks.
Najee Harris is averaging 3.4 yards a carry.
There you go.
What will be successful for this Dallas Cowboys defense against Najee Harris? Like, if I put the over-under at 4.
That's a good over-under, because that's my number. It's like, that's the pivot point. If you stick them at 4 yards per carry, you're like, okay, if you go under, I think it's a win. If they go over, I think it's a loss.
Like the game or just that?
The
part?
Game.
Okay.
Because...
So you're putting a lot on run defense.
I really am, because... That's what the Steelers love to do. Consider this, please. The Steelers are 10th in the NFL in rushing yards.
Okay.
Which sounds good, right? You're like, oh yeah, top 10.
Because Justin Fields runs the ball a lot.
That is true. But they're also tied for first in the league in rushing attempts. So think about that. That's a disconnect that you don't want. I'm 10th in the league in yards, but I'm first in the league in attempts. And what that translates to is they're 25th in the league in yards per carry. Think about how much we have disliked this Cowboys run offense thus far. 3.7 yards per carry for the Steelers as a team versus 3.5 yards per carry by the Cowboys. But the difference is the Steelers, regardless of the situation, will commit to the run. And Mike, to your question, I think that's why I'm like, this is win or lose, because even if it's not going well, they're like, we're going to keep doing it.
I think that's interesting on the will commit to it. And, you know, Jerry's talked about the difference between committing and saying you're committing to the run. They have to. They don't. Again, I go back to, they don't trust Justin Fields completely. The Cowboys trust Dak, and because that they think that's the only option. One of the next segment we'll talk about, that's one of the reasons they trust Dak.
Yes,
and we'll talk about that in Devontae Adams in just a moment. But this, they feel like they have to stay committed to the run again to keep the ball out of the hands of the opponent for as long as possible, to allow their defense the time necessary to rest. That's why they're doing it. And they're productive enough just to get the amount of first downs they need in a game.
Sure.
And they know their defense is good enough to do the same thing. And so if you're patient with it for a purpose, then you understand what y'all are trying to accomplish, and frustration doesn't boil up amongst your team because everybody knows, oh, we're doing it for this reason right now. But I've argued that I didn't think Najee Harris was that great, and then I got this one guy just told me I looked stupid talking about it, and I was like, I'm just saying what I'm seeing right now.
So rude.
And he did look better at the end of the year last year because he had a different play caller late in the season, and so far it isn't turning out. Maybe it's the blocking up front. Maybe Najee Harris is what Najee Harris is.
Yeah.
But they have what they do is for a purpose offensively.
Now on the defensive side, it's a different story because this defense has looked outstanding thus far. Fourth in the league in yards given up. You might be like, that's great. I don't particularly care about that. Second in the league in points given up per game. And the only reason they're not first anymore is because Joe Flacco was really able to take advantage of them. And Jonathan Taylor was solid against the Steelers. So if the Cowboys are game planning offensively, which, you know, theoretically one would hope, you look at that game plan as a template. So the connection between Flacco and Michael Pittman.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
The ability to create some holes for Jonathan Taylor, and if nothing else, run, run, run the ball.
I am very interested in the... Mike, Cooper Beebe's kind of been a point of discussion for everybody because who is he? You know, is he really ready for this job? And B, is he any better than what we had last year? And C, he's a rookie doing this. Cameron Hayward terrifies me. All right. As when it comes to defensive tackles, Cameron Hayward is a player that I'm just like, oh my gosh, what is this? How I'm looking forward to the battle with Zach Martin, Cooper Beebe, Tyler Smith, and the defensive front they have right there in the middle, because that's where it could make or break this game. And like you're saying, running the ball offensively, but also in pass protection, because Cam Hayward can definitely get to the quarterback.
Can I ask y'all a question then?
That's the dude right there. I'm sorry, Kevin.
Yeah.
That's the kind of guy that I want the Cowboys to have on the field to be able to do all those things, in addition to a big old fat. I want him next to a big old fat guy that can plug the hole. That dude right there, he can do all the things that I want Osa to be able to do too.
The thing against the Colts, and the reason why I focus in on the Colts, is that's really the only game where the Steelers have run into any kind of problems, I guess, defensively. I know neither one of these are a particular strength of the Cowboys. Do you have more faith in the Cowboys' ability to consistently run the ball solid, if not well, or to get big plays passing? Because they weren't like 50 and 60 yards, but the Steelers did get hit with multiple like chunk pass plays. And that's another thing the Cowboys have struggled at thus far.
I don't care how big the holes are. These running backs suck.
I'm with you.
So maybe they aren't getting big holes. Maybe they aren't getting small holes. But I think the running backs are untalented, maybe not even deserving to get the ball in the NFL at this point in their careers. Not Rico Dowdle. I think he's a good backup running back. He's our main guy. Zeke might not. I think this is his last year in the NFL. After this year, Jerry's not going to bring him back. And all 31 teams are like, dude, we saw him in New England.
Yeah.
We saw him in Dallas. It's over. And then Deuce is a very small guy who is a very special, like a specialty running back. But you do have arguably the best receiver in the game. I know CeeDee Lamb isn't. Dak Prescott has thrown for 300 yards so many times in a game in his career. To me, that's been proven. The other part, I don't even want to say is unproven. I know it's proven. It sucks, and it's going to suck.
That sounds like a vote for chunk passing play.
I'm with Mike then, because he nailed it. But I guess it's because of the connection between Dak and CeeDee Lamb. Looks like against the Giants, it kind of got back on the right page. I have faith that CeeDee Lamb can turn a smaller play into a bigger play too. I'm not saying that everything downfield is going to work, but I can see them being creative enough to make a play that is going to turn into something big. So, and like Mike, I just don't trust the running game enough. It's going to be there. Mike McCarthy will call the running game. He will call plays for it, but it doesn't necessarily, whether you believe Mickey or you believe believe Mike, both of them are together problems. I don't think that Ezekiel Elliott's fast enough to get through the holes that are there. I don't think the Cowboys quite honestly open up the holes that they need to open up. Dowdle, he's fine, but he's not a blow you away guy. And then you're using Deuce Vaughn wrong most of the time.
Dude, so, no kidding.
But yeah, that's where I look at this and I go, I'm more faithful that the Cowboys can create big plays. The problem then, Kevin, is doesn't Pittsburgh know that?
Yes.
And that's what they're going to say is, this is what we got to take away first. And how do you do that? Pressure Dak. And I know you're like, well, he's good against the blitz. But if he's on the ground, it doesn't matter. And that's what most teams think right now.
They don't have a good pass rusher, though.
If they did.
Well, Mike, I hate to tell you this, but unfortunately, Watt is still really, really, really good.
He's healthy.
Yeah, he's. I'm sorry to tell you that, Mike. He's
back, huh?
He's still. Look, I made this note just kind of as a sarcastic note, but like, TJ Watt is still a problem. So if you're wondering about that, yes, he is still a problem. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, all right, we looked into the Devontae Adams coming to the Cowboys deal. Here's why it could and could not work next on The Fan.
White. No, it's Minshew. Touchdown, Devontae Adams.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. People have been asking about it, and so, Corey, we felt like this was our contractual obligation to do a Devontae Adams segment.
If you want to hear about it, let's talk about it.
Okay. So
I'm here for Michael Adams segments. He is a really nice 5'9" point guard for the Denver Nuggets. Went on to be an all-star for the Washington Bullets.
Pitched for the Rangers in the World Series.
That is Mike Adams. That sounds like a podcast to me.
I love that man.
So Mike Adams is great.
He's awesome.
And really tall. So He's
very tall.
Loves the Cowboys.
So Devontae Adams, if you just look at the betting odds, the three teams most likely, if you had to guess, who do you think would be the three teams most likely in the betting odds to make a move for Devontae Adams? Spoiler, it's not the Cowboys.
Would it be the Chiefs because of their wide receiver
Chiefs
situation?
Chiefs are third on the list.
Packers. Bring them back. No, I don't think it's the Packers.
No. I'm just Are you asking me to, or are you asking Mike?
Yeah.
Jets.
The Jets.
Oh, the Aaron Rodgers
are number one. And then the Commanders are second, which makes sense when you consider that they were trying to get in the mix to make a move for Deebo Samuel in the offseason. So Jets, Commanders, and Chiefs. The Cowboys are pretty far down the list, actually. But I decided to do the research nonetheless to see why it could or could not work.
Before the Cowboys going to Washington, and I have this question for Corey, because he's a big Terry McLaurin fan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm asking this seriously. Do you think Devontae Adams today is better than Terry McLaurin?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I think Devontae Adams still, in my opinion, top five receiver, if not the best.
Okay.
But having Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell doesn't help. But they beat the Ravens.
They did.
And he was a huge part of that at the end of that game. He's one of the best route runners physically. He's gifted because he's tall and long, has great hands. He's one of the best receivers, bar none.
All right. If other people in the Cowboys organization think that, then this move is there for the taking. And by the way, there's already been reports that the Cowboys have at least knocked on the door and asked, hey, what's the story? So this all goes back to Antonio Pierce. We talked about Antonio Pierce a couple weeks ago, and he's like, oh, people are making business decisions and everything like that. So supposedly, and I saw the screenshot, so I guess I'm inclined to probably believe it. It all started when Sports Illustrated posted a tweet that said, don't be surprised if Devontae Adams has already played his last snap with the Raiders, per Michael Fabiano. And it looks like it was liked by Antonio Pierce. So I could see how...
The coach?
Yeah, the coach.
He's on Twitter liking things?
It was on Instagram, I believe. But
he's on Instagram liking things?
And so...
Most coaches are like, I don't know how to use my phone. All right? So, and the Antonio Pierce is like, I got this.
So I could see if you're Devontae Adams, you're like, the hell? And so then word quickly trickled out, and Corey had a great tweet about this yesterday that Devontae Adams now would like a trade. And I know Corey was stunned by this information because
I was shocked.
This has been like the most obvious thing in football for 6 months, right? So much so that they had to do a press conference like every other month to talk about how much he wanted to stay in Las Vegas. So that is not the case. And now the Raiders would reportedly consider trading Devontae Adams. But what is that going to look like? So Schefter, do you know the answer to this?
Yeah.
Okay. Schefter says...
Well, it's Amari Cooper trade.
Ooh, interesting.
I'm just kidding.
So we give him a fifth rounder.
Well, I mean, Mike has something... Well, hold on. Okay.
I was being sarcastic, but...
We traded more for Amari Cooper. But I think this is interesting because...
It could be Amari Cooper with the Cowboys did.
Yeah, with the Cowboys. That's an interesting thought there. Go ahead, Kevin. Lay that out because there's a lot more to dive in on.
Schefter says the package would need to include a second round pick and additional compensation. So what I'm thinking...
Cash considerations?
I probably not. That is not as prevalent in the NFL.
Sign and trade?
I mean, they might have to do that. We'll get
Jerry gives them some Pepsi.
Or some Miller Lite.
Nobody wants Pepsi.
Well, everybody wants Miller Lite, though. Especially
Surely there's some people out there that want Pepsi, right?
How many people think Pepsi is better than Coke?
Okay.
If you had to drink either one.
Let us know. 877-881-1053.
You live in Plano, you have to drink Pepsi. That is a Pepsi city.
You can drive somewhere anyways.
I'm not lying, dude. Every restaurant, they're like, we only have Pepsi products.
So I would start with this. Second round pick in the 2025 draft and a fourth round pick in the 2026 draft.
Deal.
How many years does he have left on his contract?
Now! Lamb, glad you asked that.
Don't care.
Okay.
Did you say Lamb?
Yeah, he did.
I was, yeah. I don't know what happened there. All right. So here's what it's going to look like.
There's like a CD Lamb connection.
No, that was just a slip of the tongue. He has 3 years left on his deal. But here's the good news. After this year, there is no guaranteed salary left for Devontae Adams. Now, you can view this from a good or bad perspective.
So you'd hold out on Jerry, so Jerry would then give him like a huge contract?
I would argue that is possible. And I don't know if Devontae Adams says any trade needs to come along with a new contract. Let's assume it doesn't, just for the time being. So what would that end up costing the Cowboys? Because they'll tell you they don't have the money for it. They definitely do. So if you made a trade this week, like today, which feels unlikely, his cap hit would be $13.5 million for this season. It goes down about $1 million every single week. So let's assume like you start working on it.
That's awesome.
And you get the deal done next week. So it would cost you a second and a fourth in my estimation. And he would take a cap hit of $12.5 million this year. And then he has no more guaranteed money left on his deal, which means no cap hits in further seasons.
And can you throw Trey Lance in just for giggles?
If
somebody asked that, and I'm like, that sounds great.
I mean, probably.
Hey, when you say no cap hits, you're saying in 2025 he doesn't count against your cap at all?
Because he has no guaranteed money, and the bonuses are structured towards they would hit the Raiders. So, like, for example, he still has like $7.5 million in signing bonus and $8 million in restructure hits. But that's on the Raiders because that's part of the guaranteed money that they gave Devontae Adams.
If Devontae Adams is, like Corey's saying, arguably the best receiver in the game still today, that doesn't seem like fair compensation if you don't have to. I know you have to pay him money, I guess, but he counts $0 against your cap in 25 and 26 and you still have him on your team?
No. He doesn't. I mean, great. Then I'll give more than a second and a fourth. Okay.
This can always get confusing. No, I get it.
But that's fair. I'm glad that you said that. So what I'm saying is if you wanted to move on from him after this year, you don't take
a
cap
hit.
If you want to keep him, I believe the next 2 years, what you would be responsible for, it's 2 years and about $71 million. Now, so 35 and a half per year, give or take.
So he'd be getting paid like the best receiver in the
exactly.
game.
Exactly. So maybe you watch him play and Corey's right. And you're like, good God, we have two of the best five receivers in the NFL. That's why you have to pay all the money. Or maybe the Cowboys just see this as a, let's make a go for it. Let's push all in a non-ironic fashion and go with Devontae Adams. And if that's the case, my point is you could get out of that contract and not take a salary cap hit.
Now, let's dive into the realities here, Kevin. Okay. Other than those are the formalities.
Ooh, I like it.
Two things, and you'll see this frequently as people are texting in that they love Pepsi. It's weird. Pepsi's not good.
What?
I can't believe, smooth operator on YouTube's 100% Pepsi.
Weird. I still love you, though. Two things I keep seeing is it doesn't fix the run defense and it doesn't fix the run offense. However, might I suggest that maybe it does. Not the run defense. That's still a factor. Look, DeMarcus Lawrence injury, Micah's injury, those are realities the Cowboys have to deal with right now. They got to figure out how to make that work. So they go sign KJ Henry. Good job. They also bring up Carl Lawson. Don't know how that's going to help, but they try. So they're still going to have to figure that out. I don't know if they can use these assets to make a big trade to get the defensive player that they need or if they can find other ways to do that. That's a different deal. We've seen CeeDee Lamb line up in the backfield plenty. Just turn CeeDee Lamb into your running back and just The other part of this is
turpentine.
The other part, though, Kevin, is Devontae Adams, his history, I know he's a really great route runner, 20, 15 yards. He's unbeatable. But you can use him in so many ways in your short passing game to create a run game. And you saw it with Aaron Rodgers over his entire history, how many times he would be in motion behind the line of scrimmage and he gets a 6-yard catch or he gets a 3-yard catch on a big down that you think is supposed to be a running play. They're going to Davante Adams because they know they can get that playoff and they're going to be able to get the yard to get to convert the first down. That's one of the things. And I've saw Mike McCarthy do it plenty. I know it still exists in Mike McCarthy's playbook. And then that opens up CeeDee Lamb more. So maybe it helps out the running game better than the running game helps out the passing game. Maybe that's the way that I would look at it. You have two guys on the field that safeties have to be aware of at all times. And again, if you use them correctly, and I think they can, CeeDee Lamb and Davante Adams in conjunction with the running game and as a short passing game creator, that's where I think your offense looks different. And right now with all the too high safety stuff that we're seeing in the league, that means that this is the better option. If you're going to be passing the ball underneath, you use those two guys to do it.
And I know there is some concern about the hamstring of Davante Adams. This is the tough thing to figure out. I'm sure he's hurt to a certain extent, but is he hurt like I really can't play, or is he hurt I can't play for the Raiders?
Raiders.
Yeah, okay.
Just go watch receiver.
Okay.
We talked about it all offseason, Kevin.
And so even if that wasn't
the
case.
Randy Mossing it with the Raiders?
He does not want to be there.
And like,
that's how bad Moss was with the Raiders.
He wanted to go there to play with Derek Carr. That's why the Saints are being featured as another option, according to Adam Schefter, because Derek Carr's there. He wanted to go play there. He wanted to get money because Green Bay wasn't going to give him that money.
Yep.
So he gets to the Raiders, finds out that organization is trash and it's terrible. And it's a problem because there's a culture problem of putting in the right work. And he's like, I can't change this on my own. Nobody's helping me. Now, is it going to change if he gets here? I don't know. I feel like working with Dak, he's going to be pretty happy about because Dak does put the work in for things. But he really wants to be with Aaron Rodgers and the Jets.
Your percentage that the Cowboys get Davante Adams.
10%. Yeah, really low.
I'm at zero.
Yeah.
Okay, I can see that.
And I don't know. Here's the thing too, Kevin. Do you think the Cowboys are walking in there and saying, we'll give you a second and fourth?
Probably.
If that's the asking price?
That feels very unlikely.
What tells you that the Cowboys have ever gone, we're going to offer asking price instead of we're going to offer bargain price?
I mean, Joey Gallo. Yeah.
Way. Roy Williams.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to
wide receivers, it is.
Yeah.
You know what? Maybe y'all are right.
Amari Cooper from the Raiders.
Yeah. Maybe y'all are right there. Maybe that is the way. And Kevin, maybe that's what the offseason was. Because if this happens and it turns out good, then Jerry Jones is going to be like, guys, y'all crushed me all offseason for not making any moves. But if I had made these moves, I wouldn't have been able to deliver Davante Adams to you. Don't I look great right now delivering y'all Davante Adams? It's exactly what happened with the Amari Cooper trade. They had nobody that could play receiver. And once they figured it out, it was like, oh, we got to offer up draft compensation for this. And they looked pretty good because Amari Cooper was really good.
Yeah, so I don't think it's likely to happen. We've talked about it. The betting odds have the Jets really high. And we mentioned that the Jets have already reached out. Supposedly the Cowboys reached out. The Saints make a lot of sense as well. But I just wanted to run through how it could and could not make sense. But here's what you really want to know. Damian Lillard said that he's done with the Raiders if they make this deal. He tweeted out yesterday, if the Raiders trade...
Damian Lillard?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the Milwaukee Buck.
That's right. He said, if they trade Devontae for a damn second round pick, I'm done. So
he also, he also said he was going to stay in Portland for his entire life. So I don't believe that guy anymore. I love him, but I don't believe him.
I mean, he does have a Raiders tattoo. So I don't know if he'd be like,
dude,
I'll change it.
You can change that really.
You can. You can.
He has to worry about Giannis coming to Dallas.
That's a fact.
Huh? I had somebody ask me that. I was like, I don't think that's like, there's nothing.
Okay, hold on. One of them is guaranteed to happen.
Okay.
Davante Adams to the Cowboys or Giannis to the Mavericks next year.
I'll lean towards Giannis.
Let's go, Mike said we're getting Giannis!
At 1% over the 0% that Jerry even knows who Davante Adams is. He probably thinks he's a good safety.
We're the Kings.
Because he's thinking of Jamal Adams.
You might be right. We've almost made that signing like 5 times. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, It's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bashek.
Will you take back we shouldn't have traded Cole Reagans now?
Nope.
Next.
Swing and a ground ball. Base hit left field. Bobby Witt Jr. drives in Michael Garcia. And how many times did we say that in the first half? And the Royals lead 1-0 in the sixth.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Baseball Nuggets in just 1 second. I had a quick note for you. Quinn Ewers is back at practice. And I know they have the week off before Texas OU next weekend, but he does look like he's in line to play against Oklahoma. Just wanted to give people the update on that. And now it's time for Baseball Nuggets.
Well, we had the playoff start yesterday, and it honestly started off great. Now, we'll get to Kansas City in a second. That was my tease with Cole Reagan's great game. But did you guys flip on the television when you got home to finish off the Astros losing?
Yes.
That became very nerve-wracking, as Scooble was unbelievable. And yeah. I was going to be honest, I was a little bit frustrated with my man AJ. I was like, dude, why? Pulling this is out. The playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ride them, you know? You look at guys like Madison Bumgarner. Bochy rode him to a championship.
Yep.
You know, now, that being said, it ended up working out. It didn't feel like it was going to work out in the ninth inning with the bases loaded.
Do you think, too, though, like the experience of, and yeah, Bochy does it differently, but the experience of having been there and knowing I'm going to definitely need him later. I think we're going to make the World Series. I'm going to need Scooble then. I'll let him go those extra. I don't know.
It could be. And we don't know the discussions after six innings. Scooble could have came into the dugout and said, man, I'm tired.
That's all I got. Yeah.
Because we'll get to Cole Reagans here in a second. But luckily, to start it off, the Tigers really couldn't close the game, so they had to take their closer out of the game,
yeah.
Which I thought that was bold, too. When that doesn't work, if it wouldn't have worked, Hinch would have been taking a lot of crap after that game about, one, Scooble only going six, and then, two, so you got to the save situation, and with one run given up and two guys on base, and I believe there's one out, you gave up on your closer?
Yeah.
And he was like, he didn't have it. And I have other guys that are very good. He has a deep bullpen. And luckily, and I mean, I would say it's luck. Luckily, Jason Hayward hit a line drive right to Spencer Torkelson, the first baseman, because anywhere on the field, you're not going to be able to move for that ball. It was hit hard enough that it needs to be hit at one of your infielders. And if that isn't hit at Spencer Torkelson, then you're probably a tie game. And, yeah. Man, if that ball gets down in the corner, you might have lost.
Yeah. I am noticing a trend here, and this goes back to the Rangers series against Houston. Altuve, Alvarez, Bregman were the only ones that really did anything. Kyle Tucker was non-existent. And aside from that, that's what the Rangers did. They pretty much eliminated everybody else and said, we're probably going to get dealt by these guys. But other than that, we're going to have taken care of.
We'll see in the next series. And what I mean by this is going to Aaron Judge. There are people that are critical of Aaron Judge. And look, it is what it is. That they say he takes advantage of average to below average pitching in the regular season. Oh. And playoffs, you eliminate most of the teams with bad pitching. And then it's very tough to get average to below average pitching as we move on to the next game. Because Cole Reagans was awesome. And so was Corbin Burnes. It was amazing that there was one walk from those two guys. And the one walk in the, I believe it was eight innings, that Burnes threw, that guy scored. So he gives up one run in his, I believe, eight innings. I know what Cole Reagan's line was because I was shocked he was taken out.
If you're pitching like fundamentalist, you got to love that because you're like, yeah, you see that? One walk, one run. That's the difference.
Now, I assume this is true. In the seventh inning, Cole Reagans, your former Texas Ranger, throws six innings, four hits, no walks, no runs, eight Ks, 80 pitches. It's like, why are they taking him out? They did say he had calf cramps in the dugout.
Okay.
I'm going to assume in between innings. I'm not assuming it happened during while he was out there on the mound.
He would have left the mound. Yeah.
Yeah. So because everybody's like, why is he coming out? This is a battle of two great pitchers. I believe Cole Reagans had a 104 ERA in the month of September.
Wow.
So he learned how to throw a slider, Kevin, and now he's
Hey, and I know
he goes to Baltimore and throws six innings of shutout.
And I know where this conversation is going. I wish we knew how to add these pitches to pitchers' repertoires and to make them better. But he was still part of a necessary trade to get us into the World
Series. Chris Young is working on the development part of that, too, for the Rangers. But now Baltimore's lost, what, nine straight going back to, like, way back in the day?
To the playoffs. The Chris Young Royals.
They feel like they're the Baltimore Orioles are teetering on the... I'm not saying their window's closed or anything, but teetering on a... They're going to become a perpetual disappointment playoff team.
A lot of people around baseball think that Burns is not going to re-sign with the Orioles. That they are not going to be able to retain him. So he's a free agent. Grayson Rodriguez, their second best pitcher, believe me, my fantasy team. He got hurt and never came back. And they're like, yeah, he's not coming back. He can't do it. So looking at that Royals game, we played the highlight. Bobby Witt Jr. got the RBI in the whole game. Cole Reagans pitched great, but I'm with you. Look, I know Aroldis Chapman, roller coaster in the playoffs, roller coaster down the stretch of the regular season. If you wouldn't have made that trade, remember, you only made the playoffs by one game. You didn't just, oh, well, no. If he wouldn't have been on your team in June and July and August when he was really good,
then Will Smith would have been doing all that work.
And as far as I can remember, right. And Will couldn't pitch anymore.
Not at the end.
And so you look at it, and I get it. I wish we would still have Cole Reagans. But now I ask this question back to you, Ranger fans. Would Cole Reagans be Cole Reagans here?
You know who I think of?
I wonder if they ever asked that question to Cole Reagans in this offseason.
That's a good
question. Cole, do you believe getting traded to the Royals made your career? If you'd have stayed with the Rangers, do you believe you'd be this good?
I think about Chris with a C Davis, I do believe, when he went to Baltimore and took off to start. And everyone's like, oh, the Rangers are dumb. And I'm like, man, they gave him chances. It wasn't working here for whatever reason.
So we go to the National League, and in a huge upset, the Mets beat the Braves after playing that doubleheader. They're on a little bit of a roll. And then the Padres, I don't want to say blowout. They won 4-0, but it kind of felt like it watching it later in the night. It's like, this doesn't feel competitive. So three of the four road teams won. And so today, Detroit, Kansas City, and the Mets are on the road looking for, I call it the Ranger sweep. You know, last year they went to Tampa and they win those first two games on the road. Padres are looking to win as a home team. But it'll be interesting today. Everything's exactly the same. And what I mean by that is first game, 1:30, ABC. Second game, 3:30, ESPN. Third game, 6:30, ESPN. Fourth game, I guess the only difference is this one will be on ESPN2 at 7:30. So you do get your four baseball games today. It should be, again, I think, really fun. The other thing I wanted to point about playoff baseball, point out about it is teams were bunting. Teams were trying to hit the ball the other way, move runners
over.
Are
you just in heaven with that?
In a way, yes, because they know that probably the big home runs, and I get Fernando Tatis Jr. led it off with a huge home run. As guess what? The Braves don't have any pitching, so you're not really facing their best pitching. It's amazing how you have to teach your guys. In fact, AJ Hinch is kind of like, we're not striking out. We're going to use the whole field. If we're going to beat the Astros, if we're going to have a playoff run, we don't have the offensive team to hit home runs. So we're not going to try to hit home runs. We have to try to score 2 to 4 runs by manufacturing runs, getting guys on first. The rules say to steal second base. The rules beg you to steal second base. I'd love to see for the Rangers next year take advantage of these rules that beg you to steal the base. In fact, if the Royals don't steal second base, Bobby Witt Jr.'s hit is just a base hit. Yep. It would be runners at first and second. Instead, they stole second, moved him to third on a ground out. It wasn't intentional to move him to third there with two outs. But you just look at it and you go, wow, it's amazing how the game changes. What I don't understand, and I get it, over 162, we should all swing for the fences and all have 230 batting averages. Yeah. But if it wins against the best teams in do-or-die games, why wouldn't it win against the bad teams?
That's a great question.
Makes so much sense.
It's confusing to me, and I do think as bad as batting averages are becoming, that teams are going to have to relook at this and go, why don't we have not all of our guys, but some guys using the whole field and some guys trying to have a high batting average?
I'm serious about this. Do you think that's a team issue, or do you think players are like, I don't get paid to win? I get paid to put up my OPS.
That is a great question, because I do think it's both. I think agents, one, are telling their clients, if you hit 300 and you Luis Arise it, who's the best average hitter the last 3 years, nobody wants you. So it's very tough until then coaches and owners go, we want those guys. We're going to pay for those guys. Those are going to be valuable players in our organization. Until that changes, agents have to tell their players, batting 320 with a 360 on base and an OPS of 800 is worthless to a lot of organizations.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola, right here on 105.3 The Fan.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.